What's the hall pitch for your new show? What's it about?
Mm. Sure. It's kind of about three things.
Mm.
One, parenting. Mm. Two, drugs. Three, politics.
Got it. Big combination.
Yeah.
Do the topics there,
they interact?
Yeah.
They interact a little bit. I've got a long-held personal belief that I think we need more politicians who are on drugs.
Mm.
But I will specify, I mean good ones.
Right.
Your acids, your psilocybins, that's magic mushrooms, ketamine, that's fine.
Weed?
Absolutely.
Right.
100%. I think, like, you know, politicians on meth, I'm not 100% opposed to it, but I just, you know, as long as you got your shit in check a little bit.
Yeah, right. And you talk a lot about politics. You do a lot of political commentary. In some of your Instagram posts promoting the show, you open by talking about the show a bit and then sort of just talk about something the government's done. Yeah.
It's because I find doing promotion of myself and my show very boring.
Yeah. But the politics stuff is quite interesting. And how do you balance that, I guess, with talking about lots of politics and also doing comedy?
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually, because I, you know, the goal of a comedy show is to be funny. Mm. So you've got to have that in the forefront all the time. Like, it's got to work as a joke, whatever I'm saying. It's got to be funny, because it is very easy, and certainly this has happened more in the past with my shows. I'll just descend into a big rant. It's like, hey, bro, you might want to freaking come up with a punchline somewhere along the way here. So that is sort of a mode that I'm desperately trying to pull myself out of all the time. But then by the other hand, I've been road testing this show for quite a while now. I've done it in Adelaide and Melbourne. I'm going to Brisbane next week, and I'll also be performing at the Sydney Comedy Festival. So it's going to be very road tested for New Zealand.
Mm.
So it'll be all sorted. But like, I feel like I've got a lot of jokes at the start, and then I've earned a little bit of a rant in the middle, and then we've got more jokes towards the end.
Yeah.
So it's a balancing thing.
A politics sandwich.
But I also feel like I'm kind of, I'm a little bit different perhaps from some other comedians, where I'm a bit of a political tragic, I guess. Like, I'm using the vehicle of comedy to say some stuff.
Right.
And I really respect comedians who are like, hey, guess what? I'm here to be funny. That's the whole point. But that is not my exact thing. I'm there to kind of, I've got an agenda.
There's one political joke of yours that I've seen a few times, and I find quite funny, where you poke fun at the sort of comedian demographic that says, we can't joke about anything anymore. What do you, like, make about that sort of style of comedy where they just complain about PC and woke culture or whatever?
It's pretty crack up, because generally the people who complain the loudest about cancel culture or censorship suffer the least from it. Like, they're often people that, I mean, I don't know, Louis C.K. is a pretty good example of people. He was sort of the perennial example people would pick of someone who got cancelled. My man's still on stage a lot. He's still making TV and making big bucks and appearing on everyone's podcast and everything. Like, I think he certainly suffered some repercussions or consequences to some pretty dastardly actions that he undertook, which was, at a minimum, a pretty severe abuse of power. But I think it's kind of pathetic. It's just really funny because I see such a victim complex with these dudes who keep crying about, oh, you guys aren't laughing because it's like you're woke. It's probably because you're not funny, bro. Mm. Like, any, I really do think most subject matters can be joked about, but you've got to be good. Mm. And there are some that are harder to joke about than others, so you've got to have the skills to be able to deliver. And I think it's very attractive, particularly there's some younger, white, straight men who get into stand-up basically to be provocative and then get surprised that no one finds them funny.
Mm.
And they get a bit crybaby about it.
Yeah.
But that's just my take.
Yeah. And speaking of that demographic, you do some podcasting, and there seems to be a lot of podcasts propping up with those kinds of guys around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That kind of
manosphere. What do you make
thing.
Of, you know, because you've spent a while in the podcast industry, you've done a lot of that work. What do you make of this new surge in podcasting and the kinds of guys who are doing it now?
I don't think it is. There's anything particularly magical or unique that it's come to podcasting. I think it's just one reflection of where we're at with the culture and politics. I think, in my opinion, what's happened is 95% of the population has been ground down. Like, everyone is in debt. Everyone is struggling. No one seems to be thriving at the moment. There's like six dudes that have all of our money and they're using it to build data centers, poisoning our water for some reason. And I think everyone is looking for a bit of a solution or someone to blame. And I think that there is a real vested interest with a lot of these rich dudes, and what concerns me a lot is they're buying up media outlets and social media companies. They are sort of turning us against people who have no power and saying, these are the people to blame. It's immigrants, it's trans people. And I don't buy it. I actually think it might be the six dudes with all our money. Call me crazy.
And you mentioned in some of your promos for this new special, you haven't done it for a bit, right? This is your return to stand-up.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of comedy podcast work, obviously. What's the difference there? Like, how is it different, I guess, performing in front of the camera versus in front of a live audience?
For sure. So with podcasts, it's you, well, the way I do it anyway, it's me talking to a friend, and most of my podcasting career has been done with Guy Montgomery,
right?
Which I'm very blessed to have such a good, funny dude to do it with. And there has never been any planning in our podcast whatsoever. Like, we will sit down, there will be no pre-discussion of what we're going to do. We'll turn the mics on. So you're getting an incredibly unfiltered stream of consciousness conversation between the two of us. And I think people dig it.
Mm.
Like, people seem to enjoy that. So that's cool. Stand up, you really, you know, it's writing, it's rewriting, it's performing, it's honing. It's a craft that you've got to take really seriously to get good at it. And it takes a lot of, like attention and care. And there's podcasts that do that as well. I just don't do those kind of podcasts. So that's the main difference is, stand up. Which is funny because the whole thing with stand-up is you want to give the illusion that you're just thinking of the stuff off the cuff. That's kind of the big lie that everyone's engaging in when you're at a show. And sorry to burst that bubble, but it is, you know, we've sat down and wrote these jokes out and worked on them.
Yeah, and like, is there anything audiences should expect? Maybe if they've only heard your podcast work before, or if they've only seen some of your stuff on other shows, is there anything they should come into and expect from your stand-up work?
I would say that I keep my personal politics off of podcasting a lot more. But with my stand-up, I'm like, I'm there to tell you what I think about things, my perspective on the world, and that is pretty political.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got it by now, pretty left, pretty left, guys. I'm reading a book at the moment called Escape from Capitalism, just to give you like a flavour of where my head's at the moment.
And you mentioned also earlier that you've performed this show in Australia a bit. Is it sort of like prepping for the New Zealand audience, like...
A little bit. I mean, I'm doing, you know, it's great to go to Australia just to perform to those audiences and try and get some people to find out about me over there. But it is pretty funny that I've decided to do like a show that about 50% of it is about New Zealand politics.
Yeah, that was what I was imagining. Like, how do they react to the New Zealand politics stuff?
They're on board, I think. They're on board. I sort of, hopefully, have earned enough goodwill in the first, 40% of the show talking about some general stuff around like parenting and some drug stories, which is always a main staple of mine, and then I kind of get into what's going on in New Zealand, and they do seem on board.
Yeah, that's exciting. I've also, to close this out, I've got a personal anecdote. A few years back, I saw someone on the train who looked a lot like you, but I was dressed in a costume where I looked like a minion. It was on Halloween a few years back, and I was debating sort of internally, do I go up to this person and ask for like a photo or like something?
Yeah.
And then I decided that, well, A, I wasn't sure if it was you, so obviously if it's like a stranger, that's bad.
Yeah.
But also I'm dressed as a minion.
Yeah.
What do you think I should have done in that situation?
You should have got that photo, brother.
Right.
I would have been delighted. Yeah, I've got no issue with that. I know different people have different answers to that question, but me personally, delighted.
Yeah.
Always delighted.
Do you have anything to leave people with, I guess, if they're thinking, maybe they're on the fence about getting tickets to your show, maybe they haven't heard of you before?
I would say this. I would love to see you at my show. I'd be delighted to see you there. I've got a lot of tickets to sell.
Mm.
I'm in Auckland at Q Theatre from the 13th to the 16th. But let me say this. Go to any comedy festival show, because the thing is, in New Zealand, it's a closed festival, like it's invite only. So you can afford to take a punt and just go to a show of a comedian you don't know anything about or very little about, because they've had to pass a really high bar to get entry into the festival in this country anyway. So just like go without fear of someone being rubbish, because I'm telling you, this country's comedians are fantastic, like really world class. Really, and I can say that hand on heart, you know, going around the world seeing other people's comedians. We have such a talented crew here. So, again, we'd love to see you at Eternal Optimist, but if you're not coming to my show, please see something in May during the fair.